Okay, I'm going to open with a word of prayer just to calm my nerves a little bit. Dear Lord, thank you for blessing me with the opportunity to be here, and may the words flow freely that everyone will understand and feel the passion of my desire for bettering the lives of those in Rwanda and East Africa, Lord. And may I just be able to share this fire that is in me to where everyone can understand my devotion to this country. And thank you again for blessing us today. And we give you all the glory. Amen. Okay, so I'm Jennifer Parker. I'm from Greenville. I'm married to Ward Parker's son. For those of you who do not know me, many of you, I think I am Facebook friends with you, so you probably have followed me on my two journeys to East Africa so far. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how this all got started. And Stuart's right, never in a million years would I have imagined that I would actually be the director of a nonprofit in Africa, ever. But the first Sunday that my family returned back to face-to-face worship at Christ Church, Tim, our pastor, spoke about a need in Rwanda. Our church had partnered with Rwanda Challenge there for several years. And the mission of Rwanda Challenge at that time was to just teach the pastors scripture and to strengthen their biblical knowledge. And so a group of pastors had traveled over to Africa to teach this group of pastors. The government of Rwanda had actually made a lot of changes in requiring pastors there to have a college degree. And so this need also got started because in order to be a legal pastor, you have to have the college degree. So that would impact thousands of churches because a lot of the pastors there do not have a college degree. And so Tim shared with us, okay, we're opening it up. Anyone who would like to go over to Africa to teach English and computer skills so that they could access, a college program taught in English, they needed a lot of background information, a lot of teaching, a lot of instruction. Many of them had never laid eyes on a computer before. And so I immediately looked at my husband and my children, and I said, I'm going. And they're like, oh my gosh, no, you're not going to Africa. No, 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 no. But, okay, you want to go, you want to go. That's fine. So I think that same day we actually went after church with Pops and J-Ma. And that is Ward, by the way, he's Pops. And so I remember saying, I think I'm going to Africa. And he's like, oh my goodness, it's COVID. What are you thinking? And so, but that day I went ahead and I was telling everybody, I've got to go, I've got to go. And so I ended up recruiting several people to come with me. So my journey really started that day. We can go to the next slide, Joey. Okay, so I was supposed to go November 2020 with the team, and at that time, we're right in the middle of the unknowns of COVID, but we went anyway, and we were going with the mission of teaching English and computer skills, like I said. The first of our journey went to see the amazing beauty of a real safari. And this is not like a Disney safari. I mean, we're talking real safari. And that was amazing. And we also, this is actually my team that I went with, some of them. So we started teaching. We divided them randomly into groups. And I remember seeing this one guy who was in the blue shirt beside me and in the red and black and white shirt. And I told Travis, who was on my team, he was my teaching partner, I said, oh, he's precious. I want him in my group. And so we randomly assigned the groups, and Eric, his name is Eric, was in my group. And so as you'll continue to hear my story, this moment of him being placed in my small group was just a work of God. So we went there to teach English and computer skills. We were there the first trip, 16 days, and I loved every minute. Okay, Joey. So one of the crucial things about traveling to Rwanda is that you have to understand the genocide. This is something that, you know, I had read about. We actually studied about it to prepare for our trip. But to really understand it, you have to see the museums and these memorials that are dedicated to teaching about the horrible genocide. It is estimated that up to 1 million people died in a span of like 100 days. It was awful. Nearly every family in the country was affected. Either someone in your family was killed or someone in your family did the killing. Seeing these two memorials was so devastating to me, and it hit me really hard. I remember seeing the bones and the skulls and all of that and the bullet holes and the grenade marks. I mean, it was life-changing. And so I started to really understand that this group of people had forgiven in a way that I never imagined was possible. They are going through a lot of peace, reconciliation efforts there, and their government is very supportive of these efforts because they want everyone to be Rwandan. There are no longer separate tribes there. The Hutus and the Tutsis are no more. It was such hate. And even though there was this huge tragedy, these people taught us, as far as my team, the real meaning of forgiveness and tolerating others that may be different. And the country is still healing. I mean, it's not perfect, but it is so much better. So this experience changed my heart. And I remember the following week after I was kind of really bonding with my students, this group of students that I had, I was actually very emotional the whole trip. I think I cried every day. It was so powerful. But I remember one day that I told them I would never forget what I had seen and heard from this genocide. And I promised them that when I came back to America, I would continue to share their story. And that's one of the reasons I'm here today, is to share that despite this horrible event, these people have forgiven, and they love, and they are grateful for every day, and these people changed me. So that's one of the reasons I'm here today. So our next slide talks about forgiveness, and I am reminded of Ephesians 4:32. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. And so now, where as before their identity cards said the tribe, now they are all Rwandan. Things are not the same in a neighboring country, which is the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Ethnic wars there are terrible. It is not safe to travel there. As I'll get to later, the nonprofit that I actually started here in America for this, to bring hope to these nations, we really want to expand to DRC, but right now it is not safe to travel across the border. But we pray for that daily. So the next slide is, I just learned that there is freedom in forgiveness. And I really like this quote from Nelson Mandela. Before he left prison, he said, "As I stand before the door to my freedom, I realize that if I do not leave my pain, anger, and bitterness behind me, I will still be in prison." So forgiveness does not make you weak. It sets you free. And to me, that just speaks volumes about this population of people. So the next slide is Eric. This is my best friend. He is a local pastor. He lives in a very, very poor area of the capital city of Kigali in Rwanda. His area is called Kimisagara. It is one of the poorest areas. This is his church building. This picture is actually from November 2020 on my first trip. They began construction on June 9th of 2020. And my family, I was just so moved by this man that when I was in Rwanda in November, I remember calling, my husband and I talked every day, but I remember telling him, I have got to do something to help this man and rescue him from poverty. It was, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, but when you meet someone and you feel like literally you've known them forever and you just have such a strong connection, well, that's my person. And he lived in a shack with, it was not a nice environment. He actually shared, his family shared an outdoor toilet, which was like a hole in the ground, amongst 20 people. And there were three families that shared this toilet. They did not have running water. It was bad. He lives with his wife and his mother and his sister, and they have 8 children with another on the way. So I don't want to get too far ahead, but speaking of the church, they have been in prayer for this church to be finished. And so after I saw, I mean, basically they were like, okay, now we're out of money. Okay, so we go into the space and, you know, I get Eric, I have a video on my phone. I said, I want you to go up to the front and you give me a example of what you will say the first Sunday this building is finished. Your first time preaching in this building. And I have it on my phone and it's beautiful and it's just my favorite clip ever because he talks about joy and how we are to have joy every day. He lives in what we would consider a hopeless world. They don't have money. And he has such joy. He never, ever complains. And I look at that man and I think, oh, if I can be an ounce of what he is and the joy that he exudes in his life, it's amazing to me. So the country of Rwanda is known as the land of 1,000 hills. It is beautiful. If you ever want to go to somewhere that's like a paradise, it is literally beautiful. The weather is perfect. It's like 75 degrees. It's right on the equator, so you would think, oh, it's so hot, but there's no humidity. So when we go, it's beautiful weather. But the church. So when I told Matt, we've really got to do something. So I went home and I shared with our church this need. And we actually did a VBS fundraiser, was to repair the roof that had gotten damaged. And this roof was damaged because they have heavy rains in the rainy season. So we actually were able to repair the roof, and then we were at a standstill again. So Matt and I really prayed so hard about this, and we were able to help finish the building. And so now we are just waiting on the government to approve the occupancy. But Wes and Tammy, who are here, please raise your hand. They're actually on my board. They've gone over two or three times. Okay. Two times already. They actually just got back from a May trip. They are still a part of Rwanda Challenge, which is to teach the students there. And they have seen the building with their own eyes and said that it's amazing. So I've seen pictures, but I'm really, really, really pumped about being able to see it in a few weeks when I go back. So it has just been a huge blessing for us. So part two, I went back. I was supposed to go back last July with a team from Budapest, Hungary, Houston, Texas, and Virginia, a young man from Virginia. But with COVID, my team had fear. And it was understandable. I mean, it really was. I understand. But for me, I could not say no. There was the fear of a government shutdown because the numbers had spiked. It was right around the time when Delta was coming, right? And so we knew that it was a good chance that the government would not allow the group of students to come together. And they thought, oh, if we go, you know, we won't be able to teach. But I said, I'm still going. I will go and do my thing. And I did. I can't believe I did it. When looking back, like, I can't believe I got on the airplane and Ward took me to the airport. And I'm thinking, oh dear, I never even navigated Raleigh-Durham Airport by myself. And here I am going to DC and then Brussels, you know, Belgium, and then Kigali, Rwanda. I mean, I can't believe I did it, but I did it. And I literally had no fear. Once I got my bags checked, I was good to go. But the lesson here is that we are more alike than we are different. I think we are so guilty of looking around and seeing that, you know, the differences. But, y'all, we are all just alike. We really are. I mean, we are built the same way. No matter where we live, we are more alike than we are different. So flying over 7,000 miles by myself in the middle of COVID, in the midst of government shutdowns and curfews, was a true test of faith for me. There were curfews. The government did shut down. We had a 5 o'clock curfew. And, you know, I look back and I think I'm still so glad that I went, because I was able to really experience the culture. Being by myself, I stayed with Bishop Theophil, who is the director of Africa Hope Initiatives over in Africa, and he is also the director of Rwanda Challenge. And so I met him in November. He said, it's fine, stay with me. And so I was immersed into the foods and the, you know, the places, and it was just me. And so I got all the attention, and it was good. It was really good. I loved every minute. And so this lesson of faith, I am reminded of 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. And this is so true. My love for these people continues to grow. These are some pictures from my July 2021 adventure. I was able to do one-on-one teaching with Eric. I taught him some typing, and I think he probably will need a refresher this July, because I'm not really sure he's powered the computer on since then, but we will see. I'd never taught typing, but my grandmother was a typing instructor, so it was like I was channeling my inner Mary Edna inside. It was really good. But you can see some pictures of Eric and his children. Oh, So they are, this is my next lesson, this July adventure was when friends become family. So these people are my family. I have tried since I met them to really be intentional and listen to what the Holy Spirit is guiding me to do. And then I try to respond even when it's uncomfortable. I was able to experience Jesus in a whole new way, and I literally feel so connected to these people. It is like they are my blood family. We talk every day. We do video calls through WhatsApp, which is a free app I'm so grateful for. I see his children. They call me aunt. It is beautiful, and I teach them English, and they teach me Kenyaranda. Eric tells me tomorrow school is open again. Kenyaranda school is open again because I need to refresh my mind on my introduction in Kenyaranda. So I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready, but maybe I'll say it at the end of the presentation. but anyway, they actually, one of their big things is they give you a name in Kenyaranda every time you go, and they say it's a blessing to get a new name. And so my first trip, I was given the name, which means queen. It is Mwamikazi. And then Eric's family has given me the name, which means wife of good heart, and that is Nyamutima. And then the last trip, Eric gave me the name Dorcas, which is Tabitha from the Bible, who is known as having good acts of kindness. And the reason for this is that my family and I were able to literally change Eric's life. In partnership with Africa Hope Initiatives, we were able to buy him a new home. And so when I went in July, I went to see his house, and it was amazing. They have room for everyone. They have running water. They have an indoor bathroom. They have their own area. And that was one thing that we could do that changed their lives forever. And I'm so thankful for that. So when I go back in July, I'm leaving on the 6th. I'm going back by myself. And everyone asks me, are your husband and children going one day? I mean, are you just going to do this forever by yourself? And I love traveling alone. I mean, I really do. But we have decided, Matt and I have decided that once Addison, who's now 16, is 18, and once my son Abram, who is 13, is 15, we are going as a family. And so please be in prayer for that. My husband's never traveled to Africa, and my children have no clue what to expect with the culture. I really wanted my daughter at least to be a little older because, you know, the culture is different, okay? People were asking me, do you have any children? These single guys, and I'd say, yeah, you know, she's 14. Well, let me see a picture. Like, they marry early, and, you know, I'm not really ready for that. So I think, you know, when she's 18, I'll at least feel a little bit better. And my Abram is a very picky eater, and so I think, you know, the food there is delicious, but it's not a burger and fries. You know? I mean, they do have potatoes that are just like fries, so, I mean, it's good. The food is amazing. And, you know, the last time I went, it was heavy mosquitoes. And so I had, you know, pre-treated all my clothes, and I had used the daily, you know, heavy-duty mosquito lotion. But I never got a mosquito bite, ever. I was so thankful. And, you know, they say, watch out for the traveler's tummy trouble, and I never had, knock on wood, I've never had an issue. So please pray that I will continue to stay safe and healthy in July, but I do not worry about it. Okay, next slide. So I'm going back because when I was there in July, Bishop Theophil asked me, okay, so I'm really looking for someone that will partner with me and expand the ministry in the U.S. Would you consider being our director for the United States for Africa Hope Initiatives? And I said, okay, let me think about it. So I called Matt that night, and he said, if you want to do it, do it. It's, you know, it's up to you. And so the next day, I did not teach that day because someone in Eric's church had passed away, and he was actually doing the funeral that day. So I spent the day in my room at Theophil's house, and I did some research on how to start a 501c3. I knew nothing. And I was a little bit overwhelmed because it was like pages and pages and pages of forms and all these YouTube videos on how to fill out the forms. And I'm thinking, huh, how can I do this? Little old me, I don't know anything about this. But I said, okay, fine, I'll do it. Well, I didn't know this, but previously, earlier in the week, one of the neighbors of Bishop Theophil, she had come over nightly to pray. And when I say they pray for hours. They pray, and if they say they will pray for you, oh, you're covered in prayer. They pray. When they worship, they worship. It is moving, okay? So without knowing what was to come, Betty, who was the neighbor, told me, this is like 3 days before Bishop Theophil asked me to do this. One day, she said, she didn't speak English. It was translated because she doesn't speak English at all. She said, one day you will have a ministry here in Rwanda. So 3 days later, I'm asked, okay? And at that point, I mean, I can't say no, right? And so I agree. And when I come home, I speak at Christ Church the first Sunday I'm back. And I had 6 people at the end of the service come forward to me and say, I can help. I have knowledge in nonprofits. I can help. I know marketing. I can help. I can do website design. I can help. I can, you know, this. All of the needs were met. And that is God. That is God bringing me the perfect team to accomplish his work. I am just one piece of the puzzle. And I bring the passion because this is my purpose. I believe it. So I have the passion, they have the expertise and the experience to try to make this a good team effort. So when I go back, I will have 2 projects that I'll be working on, and I'm super excited. The first project is actually their microloan program. And what this is that we offer women beginning funds to start a small business because with the genocide, many women had to resort to prostitution in order to feed their families. And so we are trying to rescue them and help them earn an honest living in East Africa. And so what they do is that money starts a small business. It actually takes $50 to start a small business of 6 women, and they work collaboratively, and they meet, I believe it's weekly, right, Tammy? They meet, and then, you know, they're basically repaying this loan, okay, to get them started. And so some of the things that they do, they will lease out land to grow fruits and vegetables and then sell them at the market. One group started a choir, and they go around and sing in churches, and that's their income. We're actually going to start a group to make jewelry. And so that's one of the things I'm going to be working on, is getting some groups of women together and doing some jewelry, and then they can go to the markets and sell them there. This helps them escape the life of poverty, and the women can be more independent. So one of our goals is to expand the current program. Before, when I said we were looking to not only do this in Rwanda, but we're looking at Burundi, DRC, which is the Congo, and Uganda. So we're hoping to expand that program. The second project is to do emergency food and supply relief. So I'll actually be traveling about 7 hours by car from where I'll be staying, which could end up being like 10 hours knowing the traffic there. If it rains, the roads are not always great. And so it's like a mud pit, and just pray. But it's going to be so good. We're going to 2 different villages. And so one of the areas that we're visiting to do the relief is where it's in Gisenyi is the name of the city. And this is where the earthquake, which was a result of the volcano last May, that area was destroyed. Homes, churches, roads, everything was destroyed. And so we'll be traveling there, which is right on the border of Rwanda and DRC. And they say they have some surprises for me. So I think we're going to go see Lake Kivu. So I'm so super excited about that. It's supposedly a really beautiful area. So I'm excited. But these are the faces of Rwanda. And wow, how powerful. I mean, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be back. I have the widget countdown on my phone, and my kids are like, oh, it's 23. Okay, 23 more days. We get it. But I've already started packing. Yesterday I started, so I'm ready. We have a short clip from Bishop Theophil, and his English is pretty good. But hopefully you guys can understand it. He's just doing a little bit of a recap of the projects that we're working on there. If you would like to support our ministry, we actually do have a website. It is www.africahopeinitiatives.org. We have some things out in the lobby that are basically gifts for donations. So you can check those out. Wes and Tammy are my wonderful helpers with that. We take cash, checks, prayers. If you wanted to write a check, you can make it out to Africa Hope Initiatives or AHI. So here's a quick little video from Bishop Theophil in Rwanda.
Yep. Hi, Bishop Theophil. Please tell us a little bit about Africa Hope Initiatives.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. It's a great joy again to talk to you and also talk about Africa Hope Initiatives. Africa Hope Initiatives is a Christian ministry, Christ-centered ministry that we started to be a way or a channel to help different people from different denominations. And in Africa Hope Initiatives, when we started, we were focused on women who were former prostitutes that we want to evangelize, but they were in need, how they can survive, because they needed just to see how they can survive if they are not using their bodies, or what we call selling their bodies. So that's when we came with the idea of microloans. Microloan is just to give them loan in 16 weeks, so that they can do small business. When they finish the 16 weeks, they bring back the money, and then we give back the money, or we add to the capital so that they can do different business. So that's what normally Africa Hope have been doing. And from there, we have now more than 55 women who came to Jesus, baptized, and then now they are in the church. They started a choir called Friend of Jesus Choir, because they were saved. But they were saved when we reached them from what we used, the microloan. So that's something that we have been doing. But now we are bringing many women, not only those who are prostitutes, but other women also, so that they can come and receive the loans, so that they can do a small business to help their families, send the children to school. You know that someone said, don't give me the fish, show me how to fish. And from there, we have now many women coming. Yes, just the big issue we have is at the capital, because many women want also to be part of the microloan projects. So these are things Africa Hope is, initiative is doing. But also, we were involved in major food. So when we have the volcano eruption in DRC Congo and Rwanda, in the western part of Rwanda, eastern part of DRC Congo, we went there to help, because many were hopeless. They were just sleeping outside. So we went there with blankets. We went there with bed sheets and other materials for them to use. So it was really something that they liked. But we still need to go there. We still need to help them. We have more than 300 families staying just there and waiting to be supported. We also do the Bible distribution. We just also go with the Word of God. We cannot just go to give them hope without giving them the Word of God. So we give them Bibles too, so that they can have Bibles in their hands. They can read the Bibles. So Africa Hope Initiatives also is going to DRC Congo, where they have many ethnic groups where they have a conflict. So they are in refugee camps in DRC Congo. Those are really people. I'm saying that they are, those are voiceless people. They don't have a people who go there. But we went there as a voice of the voiceless people. So what we do there is also to give them food, to give them bedsheet, blankets, and if possible, we can also help their children to go to school. They are really in a hopeless situation. You can't understand the situation in DRC Congo. It's a terrible, more than 26 years, they are in circles of walls. So it's very hard to see the children and the women who are just laying out. So they don't have a house, they don't have anything. So they need everything. They don't need shelter. But, you know, before at least give them food, at least we can feed them. So those are things we are doing, and also we are invited to start in Uganda, Kampala, to help the women to start the microloans, because they think that it may help the women to come out of the poverty. So that's things we are doing in Africa Hope Initiative. But we thank you, all those people who want to donate, just to stand with us, to go to those different groups. Please, let me ask you to join us and stand with us. May God bless you. May God continue to open the door for people who want to serve the Lord. You are welcome in Africa. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you guys for your attention. I have loved this. I literally could go everywhere and tell the world about this ministry. Please, even if you're not able to contribute, just please pray that we will be able to just change lives. I would love to, one day, I think it was last week, Bishop Fayefell sent me a video of this school that is in DRC, and they have this a whiteboard, and everything else is like, you know, just like a thatched roof, and like it's literally like bamboo walls that are separate. I mean, they're not; it's not connected. And the children are so engaged in this whiteboard, and the teacher is teaching, but their structure of this school is in shambles. And so I had this vision of building a school for this community, and I said, oh my goodness, how amazing would that be to one day build a school for these babies? And he said, for $30,000, we could build a primary school with 6 classrooms, a play area, you know, cafeteria. And I said, oh, I need to pray for this now. And so it seems like a lot. I mean, $30,000 sounds like a lot. But if I can get the word out, imagine how this community would be impacted. I mean, we are so blessed here. And I will leave you with one thought. In November, when I came back, the next day was the day that we usually go and pick out our Christmas tree. And so, you know, here I had been on this journey that literally changed my heart, opened doors in my mind that I didn't know existed. And for my family, it's just time to go get the Christmas tree. But for me, I look at the price tag of this Christmas tree and I think, how can I spend $150 on something that I will have in my home a month and then it will be thrown out? And my family is like, what is wrong with you? Like, my children, they don't understand. Why is mom crying at the Christmas tree farm? And I think, I can do so much with this $150. Like, I literally was in tears, and I cried for 2 weeks after I got back. I could not even understand how I had this life before, you know? And so I think you don't realize a lot of these things until you go and you see how other people live and the needs of other people. I mean, it literally changed my heart. So I hope that today you have felt a little of my passion for these people, and I thank you for your time. Stuart.